All right, so today we're going to talk about Torah, because tomorrow is Shavuos, so we only have one day of Shavuot this week, so we're going to talk about an issue relating to Torah in general. In my shul, over the Yom Tov of Shavuos, we're going to be discussing the theme of the Yom Tov is great debates, machlokas, famous things that people have debated in Jewish history. And they asked me to sort of introduce the Yom Tov by talking about the origins of machlokas. Where does machlokas come from? If there's anyone that did not yet get Mar Makomos, we have some extra copies. So please. Who said I made too many copies? Someone said to me this morning. I only have one left. See that? Okay.
At the buzzer.
Okay. Granted. So they asked me to talk about machlokas. So where does machlokas come from? You know, God gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. Did God say, "Oh, Moshe, Beis Shammai says this, Beis Hillel says that," or did God say, "This is the halacha"? Right? There was no Beis Shammai, there was no Beis Hillel. In the stomach, He did not say Beis Shammai says this, Beis Hillel says that. Or, you know, where did machlokas come? You know, when you argue with someone about something in halacha, it's because you hold you're right and they're wrong, right? Right? I argue because I think I'm right and I think that they're wrong. Well, how can that be? Is that just the way we look at it? That, yeah, half of Judaism is wrong. And, you know, we hope that we got it right, but like half of it is wrong because there's machlokas about a million things. Where does machlokas come from, and how do we relate to machlokas? And there, the concept that is most relevant when discussing machlokas is the concept of elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, that both these and these are the words of the living God. So even though Beis Shammai v'tar, Beis Hillel v'tamei, or vice versa, yeah, they're both the words of the living God. What does that mean exactly? If I say Torah and you say Tameh, so one of us is right, one of us is wrong. So God is both right and wrong? Why would God say the wrong thing? What's all of this about? So in order to understand the background to where Machlokas comes from, the most fundamental source is a Gemara that appears in a couple of places in Shas, but it appears in Sanhedrin, Peches, and Beis, and this is source number, 5 on your sheets. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Mitchila lo hayu mar bin Machlokas b'Yisrael. It used to be that there wasn't much machlokas. There was a Sanhedrin gadol. There were smaller batidinim as well. All through all the cities of Israel, there were batidinim all over the place. Hutzrach hadavar lishol shol and mibezin shabira. A shaila came up. They weren't sure. This way, that way. So what do? You go to your local Beis Din. Im shamu, amu lahem. What does im shamu mean? I would have said im yadu. If they know the answer, if they know how to be poshited, if they know the answer. As someone says, im shamu. What's im shamu? If they heard from what? What? What is heard? It means they're not paskening. They have a tradition. If they have a tradition as to what the halacha should be in this case, then they paskin. They tell you what the tradition is. But it's not actual horah. I mean, it's not a case where something new came up. They invented a fax machine. Well, what do you do about this? Can you send the fax from Israel to America when the Shabbos there? There was no such tradition at Har Sinai. There was no way that they were shamu. That would require psak halacha. That would require a hurrah. But it doesn't say that. It says, im shamu. If they heard, if they had a tradition, they would say what they heard. Vim lav. Ba'im lazeh shesamach li'ilan. They would go to a neighboring Beis Din. Im shamu, if they knew. If they had a tradition, armor them. They would say, vim lav. Ba'im lazeh shal pesach harabayis. Then they would start moving up the ladder. To the higher, but they did. To the higher, maybe one of them knew. Im shamu armor them, im lab, balazash al pesachazar, va'amar, kach terashi, kach terashi, kach terashi, kach lamadi, kach lamdu chaveirai. And it's only at that stage where they start saying, well, I think misvara, maybe it should be like this, misvara, maybe it should be like that. Then they start actually arguing out, because they obviously don't have a tradition. No one has any tradition anymore. So now they got to figure out, what are we going to do in these cases? Im shamu armor lehem, vim lab,
Elu ve'elu ba'in l'lishchas ha'gazas. Both sides come to the lishchas ha'gazas. Shesham yoshvin matnid shal shachar, mitamid shal shachar, atamid shal bein harban. And the Sanhedrin Gadol is sitting there all day. U'b'shavas v'yam tam yoshvin b'chel. Nishala shayla b'fneihem. Im shamu amulem. If they know the answer, great. V'im lav, omdim l'min. If they don't know a clear, unanimous answer, omdim l'min. What does omdim l'min mean? They vote. They take a vote. Rabu Amitamim Timu, Rabu Amitarim Tiaru. And that was it. End of story, case closed, and now everyone conforms to that vote. No room for machlokas, really, because every machlokas was resolved. You would just go to the Beis Nagadol and they would resolve every machlokas. Great. Misha Rabu Talmidei Shama Gehillel Shalosh Shimshu Kol Tzarcha, Rabu Machlokas B'Yisrael Benasa Tarek Yishtei Tarek. When there were too many talmidim of Shammai and Hillel, that lo shimshu kol tzarcha. What does lo shimshu kol tzarcha mean? Does that mean lo shimshu kol tzarcha? Did what?
Serve them enough?
Yeah, didn't serve them enough, or didn't? Which normally shimshu kol tzarcha in the Gemara means like serve them in the sense that really tried to learn Gemara from them, and really, you know, tried to internalize everything they had to teach. So basically, when they were bad students. That's what it sounds like. But there were students who really weren't getting it. So that caused all sorts of machlokas. So what's the origin of machlokas? People not getting it. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. Now, if you didn't show up to Shir, or you just like were spacing out in Shir, and someone said, oh, what did the Rebbe say in Shir? And you're like, you make something up. Because you just didn't hear it, or you didn't get it. So you're wrong, right? It's not that... Oh, what I say is different. No, you just didn't get it. So if you just didn't get it, then very likely you're wrong. This Gemara sounds like it's saying, why did Machlokas happen? Because people were wrong. That's what Loshim Shu called Sarkham sounds like. So Rabbi Machlokas be sold, and that's the Torah, Kishtei Torah. So we have like two Torahs, because these people think they're right, they think they're right, but somebody's wrong. Contrast that with the Gemara in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel and Beis. The Gemara in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel and Beis tells us as follows: Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel, Shalosh Shanim Nechluchu Beis Shammai Beis Sila. There were 3 years where Beis Shammai and Beis Sila would argue with each other. Halalu Amar Malach Kol Moseinu, Valalu Amar Malach Kol Moseinu. Each one insisting that they're right. Yatsa Bas Kol V'Yamra. Till finally, a heavenly voice comes out and says. Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim hein. You're both right. Ve'alacha kebeis Hillel. But the halacha is going to follow the Beis Hillel. What does this imply? You know, both. You can't even say, oh, one Gemara is about Talmidei Shammai and Hillel and the other one's not. They're both clearly about Talmidei Shammai and Hillel. But one Gemara says it's because of Shimshu called Tzarkhan, and the other one says, no, they're all right. Everyone's right. As a practical matter, we have to do something. We have to, you know, pass the halacha. So we follow the Beis Hillel. The Gemara goes on. V'chimeach v'sheilu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim neima zachu Beis Hillel l'kva halach kavosa. If it's really elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim, why do we follow the Beis Hillel? So the Gemara says, mipnei shenochin v'alu v'nayu v'shonu divrei v'divrei Beis Shammai v'lo odel shemakdim divrei Shammai v'divreihem. Why do we follow the Beis Hillel? Because they were such nice guys. They were very, very easygoing. They would always listen to the Beis Shammai. And when they would discuss, like, the halacha, they would say, oh, here's what our friends the Beis Shammai hold. And then, and only then, they would present what they hold. Very open-minded in that way. So we pass on like the Beis Hillel. So that's why we follow the Beis Hillel. But it's not the Beis Shammai is wrong. Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai are equally right. What exactly does that mean? How could they both be equally right? How could be Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim? And how do we reconcile that with the fact that the Gemara says Lo Shimshu Kol Tzarcha? That the reason Machlokas was created was because Lo Shimshu Kol Tzarcha. So if you look at the Rambam in the Akdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos, the Rambam already discusses this notion of Lo Shimshu Kol Tzarcha. If you look, for example, in the last paragraph in the Rambam in the sheets you have, in the Akdamah to the Perush HaMishnayos. Aval Amram. What source number is that?
Seven.
Aval Amram.
Mishurum Tamidi Shamil Shoshim Shukal Tzarchum Rav Samachlokas Bishol. Machlokas happened because there were too many Tamidi Shamil that weren't Mishamish Kol Tzarchum.
Inyan Dover Zeh Barur Ma'od, says the Rambam. What does this mean? It is abundantly clear what this means. Kishnei Anashim Shem Shavim Bahavana Ubi Iyun Ubi Yediyas HaKlalim.
If you have two people who are equal in their level of understanding, in their level of analysis, in their level of knowledge of what the rules are,
Shalomedim Mehem Lotia Bineim Machlokas B'Mashalom Deba'achas Anidus Pushampani.
If two people are exactly the same and they're working with the same rules and they think the same way and they're learning the same way and they're both on a super high level, they're going to agree with each other. Vim Tia
TM what? That's a typo, I guess. If
they're off, they'll be off by just a little bit. I mean, there's not going to be a massive divide between them.
How many times do Shammai and Hillel disagree?
Lots of times. What about Shammai and Hillel themselves?
How many machlokas between Shammai and Hillel? Three.
That's it.
So, why? Because they were both super duper Talmidei Chachamim. They had super duper traditions.
They were very on task in terms of their Yediyas HaTorah, their Havanas HaTorah, the knowledge of the Midosh HaTorah and Dresh HaSpen of how to apply the rules of Torah Shvata. So, you're always going to arrive at the same answer if you're working with a full deck.
Rarely, you'll be off by a little bit. The klalim, the rules that this one used, that one was using. They were using all the same. They were playing the same game. I shouldn't use the term game. Rav Shechter gets very offended when people talk about Torah like a game.
It's not a game. But they were dealing with the same material, the same raw material, and they both had the same incredible level.
Oh, the kasher nismai limu talmideha.
But when the talmidim were not of that caliber, the nechleshu etzlam darke hadin b'hashva'a l'shamei v'hilal rabbi seyem,
and they fell off a little bit from the level of the rebbeim shamei nilel nafla machlokas b'neihem. B'shasa masa umata and b'harbe inyanim. Machlokas became rampant.
Why? V'fish kalech mehem dan l'fi pach sichlo v'fi akhal meidubin. Each one was applying the klalim that they knew, and they didn't know all of the klalim anymore because they didn't know all the details. They were applying whatever they knew to the best of their ability, and their ability to apply it wasn't so great because they weren't Shammai and Hillel.
What does it sound at the Talmidim when they come to the machlokas? They're both right, and one is right, one is wrong. Based on what the Rambam is describing. What? It sounds like somebody's right, somebody's wrong, because it came at a failure.
It was failure. We couldn't regenerate generations like the earlier generations, and therefore we lost it.
Then says the Rambam, though, it's not a failure. It's not. We should not look at those Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel and say those guys didn't know what they're doing, and it's their fault.
Ve'ein la'ashima bekach. We cannot fault them for this.
Kilo nuchal anachnu la'achriach shnei bnei adam ha'mizvachim she'izvachu l'fi ramat sichlam shel Yeshua Pinchas.
You can't get any two people in an argument and say, oh, you should be arguing on the same madrega as Yeshua and Pinchas. But I'm not Yeshua, he's not Pinchas. I can't be Yeshua. We don't even have the ability to be on that level anymore.
V'gamein anachnu rasham l'fakpek v'mashanechu bo ne'sheinu k'shame v'hilav olamal mehen.
And you can't diminish the opinions of the two people who are arguing because they're not Shammai and Hillel.
They're not expected to be Shammai and Hillel. Ki lo chiev osanu b'kach Hashem yisala.
Hashem doesn't want us to be Shammai and Hillel. He wants us to be us. El chiev osanu l'shma menacham chach me'ezen dor shiyah.
We have to listen to whatever chacham we have access to. Kimo sha'amar o'al ha'shofit ha'shiyah b'yam me'ein v'drashta.
And that's how machlokas happened. Lo shetau bekabalasa, v'kabalasa echad emes v'asheni b'teilu.
Not that they made a mistake in their Mesorah, and that one of them got a true Mesorah and the other got a false Mesorah. One of them got a Mesorah of Tameh, the other got a Mesorah of Tahar, and one of them was just mistaken. No. It's that when it came to applying the Klalim, they didn't have access to all of the Klalim. They didn't know all of the details of the Klalim, and they didn't have perfect intellect
to be able to apply the Klalim perfectly. And therefore, it led them to different, when new questions came up, it led them to different conclusions. Old questions, that our Kabbalah is perfectly fine, Rambam goes on to say. You know, that we, it's not like we lost things in transmission. If it was just like a bottom line question, an old question, yeah, we got that perfect. When new questions came up, we couldn't really apply them all the same way because we were working with the best we got. And that's fun. What the Rambam seems to be saying is, Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chayim means this was God's plan all along. That we should do our best based on our intellect, our understanding of the Klalim, based on the capacity of our brains and our spiritual standing, which with the Yiridus HaDoros is not going to be the same, the Shami and Ilum. To learn from our Rebbeim, that's what we're supposed to do. And that becomes Divrei Elokim Chayim. Is somebody technically wrong, meaning if you had a greater expertise, would one guy have said Tameh and the other guy said Tahar? No, they would have conformed if they both had the greater level of expertise, but they don't. And therefore, it all becomes Divrei Elokim Chayim. As a matter of halacha, we choose to pass like Beis Hillel. Why? So what did the Gemara say? As a matter of halacha, we pass like Beis Hillel. Why? They were nicer guys. Why is that? I mean, because someone's a nicer guy? Let's say you have two people to invest money. One of the guys gets an unbelievable return on the money. He's incredible. He's aggressive. He knows how to look for new investments all the time. He's constantly turning things over. He knows exactly, but because he's so aggressive, he's just like, he's not such a nice guy. He's like one of these aggressive guys that like, and another guy is like the sweetest guy in the world. He just loses all your money, but like he's so sweet. So one of them knows what he's doing, the other one doesn't know what he's doing. I don't care how nice one guy is and how not nice the other guy is. If Beis Shammai is right, why do I care that Beis Hillel is nice? Shouldn't I say, you know, whoever had stronger traditions, whoever had a greater seichel, that were more confident, that they were able to apply, especially given this Rama, that they were able to apply the Midrash Torah judgment, that's going to be the person that we're going to follow. Why the Beis Hillel? But why should that even be the machria? It's like, oh, they're nice guys, so we'll throw them a bone. We'll, you know, we'll pass them. What?
What else?
I don't know. I mean, I would think numbers. There were more Beis Hillel than Beis Shammai. The vote, right? That would do it. Why does nice guys even matter? Like, it's like, oh, we should pass like Beis Hillel because there are more, taller people in the Beis Hillel than there were in the Beis Shammai. Why does height matter? Like, what? It's just an irrelevant factor. It seems like it's totally irrelevant.
I'm not sure what this means, but I remember reading that Beis Shammai used mercy, Beis Hillel used mercy, and Beis Shammai used justice.
Yeah, there's like a Kabbalah from the Arizal or something, I think, that Las Bava would in the passing of Beis Shammai, because this world is Midas HaRachamim. Right, but like you said, I'm not sure what this means. Meaning, in the non-Kabbalistic realm, which, by the way, everyone who discusses Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, the Rishonim say, Al derech ha-emes, there's more to say. But let's discuss, right, the famous Ritva in Erev and David Gimel, which is in Yomar Makomos. He deals with how it could be Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, and then at the end he says, you know, but al derech ha-emes, you know, like there's other stuff out there. But let's stay away from the al derech ha-emes. You know, is there a way that it logically makes sense?
I think Gemara is telling you an inherent Musar that you're supposed to, when you deal with Machlokas in general, deal with it in a nice way as a Jew, and that you see that from the Torah as well.
But does it make you more correct?
When you have your
midos
in check, then...
Ah, so one approach, and this is the approach of the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef writes this in his Klalei Talmud. Beis Yosef has, Rav Yosef Karo has Klalim of how to learn. And he says, when it comes to, remember we were talking about before when, in the Dvar Torah part, you know, two different types of das? When it comes to knowing something, knowing a piece of English literature or history or whatever, it doesn't make a difference what kind of Balmidos you are. You'll know it just the same. But specifically when it comes to Torah, since this is the Das Elyon, this is the Ribono Shel Olam's Torah, our midos matter in terms of our accuracy. A person is not, we do not trust someone to be a Baal Masorah who's able to faithfully transmit the Masorah HaTorah if he is not Kemalach Hashem Tzvakos. That's what the Gemara says in Moed Katan. Im domal harav l'malach Hashem tzvakos, yevakish Torah mipiv. If your Rebbe is like a Malach Hashem, try to learn Torah from such a person. And if he's not, al tevakish Torah mipiv. Don't look for Torah from someone who doesn't have proper midos. That's the famous story of Shabbat, always like sell of Bertrand Russell. Is that the name? Someone will Google it. Bertrand Russell, who was apparently a major ethicist, and they asked him, I don't understand, you teach ethics, you're one of the most respected authorities in the world of academic, ethical teachings, and yet you're a womanizer, you're an alcoholic, you're you don't seem to, he said, I don't see the problem. I don't see you going over to your geometry teacher and saying, how can you teach geometry? You're neither a circle, a square, nor a parallelogram. Meaning, I know the topic. I know the subject. I don't have to be the subject. But in Torah, it's not that way. In Torah, you have to be the subject. So that's what the Beis Yossi writes. That the midos of Beis Hillel were not just, oh, they're nice guys, so let's pass them like them. They're nice guys, therefore they're probably more correct more of the time, because that's the way Torah works.
Why would Torah be different than a normal subject in that? Assuming it's just, it's supposed to be how well you can transmit tradition.
Yeah, so we're assuming that because this is not a pure intellectual knowledge, but there's a spiritual component to it, spirituality has to come through the neshama needs to be perfected. So like if you imagine the mashal they give is if like you have, this is slightly tinted glass, right? So when the sun comes through, it's warped a little bit. It's not exactly in its full strength or color, right, when it comes through. And if you had a darker tint, it would come through even less. So the neshama is sort of the glass through which the Torah is coming through. And if the neshama has more imperfections, it's coming through more warped.
To be less accurate,
then, yeah.
Their tradition will be less accurate.
Right. That's what the Beis Yosef argues. Yeah, that the tradition will actually be less accurate. Another possibility, until the Tos Rid points this out, is specifically Shemakdimin Divrei Beis Shammai LeDivrei Ha. And this on a less spiritual level, just on a very realistic level. If you have to argue with someone, and we've discussed this, I think, several times in the past, if you have to argue with someone, you have to have a machlokas with someone, you're preparing for a debate. A political candidate is preparing for a debate. How do they prepare for a debate? What do they do? Find out what the other party holds, and have someone pretend to be the other party, and know exactly what their position is going to be, what their answers are going to be to everything, and then you're able to hone your opinion and formulate your opinion in a much stronger way when you've seen the other side. So Beis Hillel had the open-mindedness to be Magdim and Divrei Beis Shammai and Divrei Ha. They taught the Divrei Beis Shammai, they learned the Divrei Beis Shammai, and that was before they taught their own opinion, it was before they even fully formulated their own opinion. It will lend itself to a greater sense of accuracy. Now all of that doesn't fit with the Kabbalistic idea of Beis Shammai, Lasad Lavo, and all that, because that implies that there's a certain MS in Beis Shammai that we don't have in Beis Hillel. But on a practical level, in a way that we can understand, that would imply that we follow Beis Hillel because Beis Hillel is more likely, more accurate. But, Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chai. So what does Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chai mean then? Okay, so we follow Beis Hillel because Beis Hillel is more accurate. And they had a better tradition. Even though, you know, there were mistakes and they're not perfect and they're not Pinchas and Yoshua and they're not Shammai and Hillel and that. But we follow them. So of what value is Shitas Beis Shammai? In what way is it Divrei Elokim Chaim if we never hold that way? So Rav Shechter always likes to say over from Rav Soloveitchik that Paskin like Beis Hillel is a din in the Chovas HaGavra. I have to do like Beis Hillel because that's my responsibility. But as far as Cheftza Shel Torah, what is defined as a shtick Torah, as a piece of Torah, Beis Shammai is included in Cheftza Shel Torah as well. As long as Beis Shammai's opinions were developed by using the Midos HaTorah and Jesh Ben in the best possible way that they knew how, that is Torah. L'mayin afkamina that it's Torah. So most fundamental nafkamina is that it's not bittul Torah to learn. If you spend the whole morning Seder arguing about Shitas Beis Shammai, you have not spent the whole morning Seder being mevatel Torah. Because it's still Torah. If you follow the opinion of Beis Shammai, you're going against your Chovas HaGavra. Your Chovas HaGavra is to follow Beis Hillel. You're not allowed to follow Shitas Beis Shammai. But when you learn Shitas Beis Shammai, you're being mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You know, Salvation, you say that you might think that the only value, the Nesivus writes this way in his Akdam. The Nesivus says, what if everything I'm writing is wrong? In his introduction to the Nesivus HaMishpat, he wrote this unbelievable sefer on Chosha Mishpat, and he said, what if I'm wrong about everything? Sometimes an author of a sefer, like, you know, before you put out the sefer, you're like, what if everything I wrote is stupid? How's that going to play out, you know? So, like, the Nesivus was having, like, this second-guessing himself. What if everything's wrong? So he writes in his introduction, if everything I wrote is wrong, at least you're going to have to figure out why it's wrong. And then you'll better be able to understand what's right. Meaning the value of learning the wrong opinion is that you will then better be able to understand that which is correct. So certainly, to learn Beis Shammai so that you could better understand Beis Hillel is one thing. Rav Salavitch said, no, it's more than that. But even if you understand Beis Hillel perfectly, Beis Shammai is still Cheftza Shel Torah. It still counts as real Torah. Rav Salavitch used to give shir in a shul that I think no longer exists called Moriah. He used to give a shir to Balabatim, I think on Tuesday nights or something. And for years they learned Maseches Brachos. Years and years. And they finally finished Maseches Brachos. And when they finished Maseches Brachos, Rav Salavitch said, you know, Maseches Brachos mostly deals with Dinim Drabanan. It's a little bit of Dinim D'Oraisa, it's Kriya Shema, but mostly it's about Brachos, and all Brachos are pretty much Drabanan. So the whole Masechta deals with Dinim D'Rabanan. So he said, have we spent the last 15 years being Mevatel Torah on a D'Oraisa level? It was all of that bit of Torah. Maybe we should have been learning Zvachin or Menachos, because all of those are Dinim D'Oraisa. The Kabbarnas you bring, that's all Dinim D'Oraisa. And then at least on a D'Oraisa level will be Talmud Torah. So he said, no, it wasn't Bittul Torah, because Dinim D'Rabbanan is a Cheftza Shel Torah on a D'Oraisa level. Just like learning Shitas Beis Shammai is a Cheftza Shel Torah, even though we don't paskin that way. So it's Talmud Torah B'Doraisa, even when you're learning Hilchos Chanukah, which is all D'Rabbanan, Hilchos Purim, which is all D'Rabbanan, Hilchos Brachos, which is all D'Rabbanan, and even when you're learning Shitas Beis Shammai, it's a Cheftza Shel Torah. And the Rambam writes this way explicitly in the Akdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos. But is that it? Is that the only nafkamina to know that El Ve'el Divrei Elokim Chayim? So, what is El Ve'el Divrei Elokim Chayim? Teach me. It teaches me that it's not Bittul Torah to learn Shitas Beis Shammai. And that's it? Is there any other implication to El Ve'el Divrei Elokim Chayim? So there is a sefer called Mishkanos Yaakov. The author of the sefer Mishkanos Yaakov has another sefer that I forget the name of, where he, on Shas, I think it's called Koheles Yaakov, on Shas, where he tries to identify six other nafkaminas to the fact that Shitas Beis Shammai or the Das Yaakov that we reject is Dibur Elokim Chaim. Like, why do I care that it's Dibur Elokim Chaim? What does it do other than the fact that it's not Bittul Torah? So he says, the premise of it all is that when we paskin like a rabbim against the yachid, let's say, when we outvote a minority opinion, you paskin like a rabbim against the yachid, it doesn't mean that the yachid made a mistake. Halacha, I have to follow the rabbim. But the yachid is still there, it's still present, it's still in the background, it's just we're not following it la halacha. But l'may nafkamina that it's still there, l'may nafkamina that you're still going to call it divrei elokim chayim, and it's still present. Nafkamina number one. The Gemara in Brachos Taf Lamed Vav tells us that Arlas Chutz Laretz is Halacha L'Moshe Misina. That the fact that we practice the din of Arla, the first 3 years after a tree is planted, that all the fruits are Asa Ba'anah, is Halacha L'Moshe Misina. Safek Arlas Chutz Laretz. How do you have a Safek Arlas Chutz Laretz? What does that mean? What's the Safek?
Was it on the border?
That's a Safek whether it's Chutz Laretz or it's Yisrael. But let's say, I just had a shot about this last week, actually. Someone bought a tree with its, you know, comes with like the all the roots wrapped in like this. You ever seen them plant trees, you know? No, you know what I'm talking about? Comes like with all this, like this big block of roots and dirt. So they bought a tree like that. So it's been growing for a little bit. They were told it's a year old, but they weren't sure exactly how old it was. And then they planted it in their own yard, and it continues to grow. They're not sure if they're still within 3 years of when it was originally planted or not. That's a suffix. You don't know if you're within the first 3 years. Suffix or las chutz laretz is mutter. The Ran, in the end of the first part of Kiddushin, says, even if it's not like a 50-50 suffix, even if it's like there's like a 90% chance that it's still within the first 3 years, it's rov lahachmir, or let's say you have machlokas tanaim about a situation of arlas chutz laretz, and the majority opinion would say to be machmir, we would still be making on chutz laretz based on the suffix holding. Says Mishnah Yaakov, you know why? You know why we can be making on chutz laretz? And suffix arlas chutz laretz? Because even a rejected opinion still matters. So for certain areas of halacha, we follow the rejected opinions. We follow the opinions that would normally be outvoted. Suffix or less chutz laretz is one such area in halacha. Normally you have a majority against minority, majority wins. Suffix or less chutz laretz, because that minority is still divrei elokim chayim, we retain the right to be able to paskin that way in the case of suffix or less chutz laretz. Another example. The Gemara says, "Kol ha-mekel ba'aretz halacha kamosa b'chutz laretz." Or, for example, the rule is, "Halacha k'divrei ha-mekel ba'avel." What's halacha k'divrei ha-mekel ba'avel? What does that mean? What's avel? Avelus. You have machlokas about avelus. You follow the more mekel opinion. The Gemara says. Now, let's say you ask a rabbi a shayla. They send a shayla to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, halachas avelus, and he knows the sugya, and he paskins luchumah. So you don't say halacha k'divrei ha-mekel ba'avel. He knows all the opinions, and he thinks that the chumra makes sense. So it's coming from a yediyah of the sugya, from a fair and clear knowledge of the sugya. That clearly you're going to be machmir. But let's say you open up one of those avelus books, you know, the Archival Avelus book, and you know someone who's novel asks you, oh, what's the halacha? Oh, I got the book, and it says, some say, every paragraph in that book, by the way, says, some say this, some say that. You don't know the sugya, you don't know what some say is based on, you just know that, you look in the footnote, Rav Moshe against Rav Shlomo Zalman. Those guys are both really smart. I'm sure they both really knew the sugya. But I don't know which one is more correct than the other, I have no way of knowing. So we have a rule, halacha k'divrei ha-mekel ba'avel. So the Ramban quotes from quotes of Tosos and Erevin, that you might have thought, oh, you know why halacha different mekel bavel? Because all of Hilchos Avelus is only midrabanan. So it's just like safek drabanan lekula. When you have machlokas, you don't know what to do, safek drabanan, so you go lekula. He says, no. Even if you assume like the mechaber that Avelus Yom Rishon is Doraisa, it's machlokas mechaber Ramah, whether Avelus Yom Rishon is Doraisa, even if you assume like the mechaber that Avelus Yom Rishon is Doraisa, we're still going to say halacha different mekel bavel. Why? Because normally Safik Daraisa Luchumra, but over here it's a Gzeris HaKasav that Sveika Lukula, even a tiny little Safik. That ability, that right that we have to follow, even the outvoted opinion, even a tiny little Safik in Hilchas Avelus, is a function of Eilu Veilu Devrei Elokim Chayim. If we were to just ignore a Das Yachid, if we were to just ignore the outvoted opinion, then we would never have a circumstance where we would be allowed to be making like that opinion. But here we have two circumstances, Arlas Chutz Laretz and Hilchos Avelus. You're allowed to follow the opinion that would have otherwise been outvoted because it too is Divrei Elokim Chayim and therefore it can sometimes be brought back into the halacha.
Isn't Arlas Chutz Laretz?
Arlas Chutz Laretz Halacha Moshe Sinai. Yeah. But we darshan from Sukkim that Safek Arlas Chutz Laretz is Lukula. Question is, what's called the Safek? You might have said, well, if 90% of the poskim say one way and 10% say the other way, that's not a suffix. I follow the 90%. Eilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chayim says it's still called a suffix.
Is it suffix the Raisa?
And you could be Mekel, because we have a special Gezeres HaKasav that it doesn't follow the normal rules of suffix the Raisa Luchumra. So you could be Mekel, but why is that a suffix even? It's a suffix because Eilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Meaning it doesn't rise to the level of Vadai.
Is that two stakes or no?
Not two shekels. Why two shekels?
It's a suffix of from Eilu Eilu and the Safek from...
No, Eilu Eilu is not a Safek. Eilu Eilu is a statement of fact, that they're both Torah.
Well, I thought Rabbi said it was Safek.
So even though you would have thought this is not a Safek, you just follow the majority opinion, the minority opinion is still taken into account to create a Safek, and to therefore say I'm allowed to follow it in the case of Arlein, in the case of Avelis. You have a similar idea, Halacha k'divrei Mekel be'eruv, by Eruv and also. And that also applies even to an opinion that otherwise would have been outvoted, but be'eruv, you're allowed to be Mekel. Or a fourth example, you have in Choshe Mishpat, if a Bezin paskins that if I have to pay you money, I can say Kimli Keshita Sayachid. You say, I owe you $100, and I say, whoa, there's a machlokas, whether I owe you $100, there's a halachic issue. I hold like the shita that says, I don't owe you $100. Thank you very much. Kimli Keshita Sayachid. Because I'm muchzuk in the money, Motsi Mechavir Olav Araya. Now, it's based on a Motsi Mechavir Olav Araya, but why isn't it enough of a raya? You'll tell me 90% of poskim say that you owe me the money. That's my raya. We follow the majority opinion. The notion of being able to say kimli is yet another exception to the normal rules that can only work because elavel devaril kimchayim. Because even the outvoted opinion is still something. It's still present. It's still there. And that's the only way that kimli could work. A fifth nafkamina. The Mishnah Maseches Beitza tells us that sometimes there's a midas chasidus to be machmir for a das yachid. This is like a very common thing in Mishnah Berurah. Every page of Mishnah Berurah, he's being machmir for, be machmir for this opinion, that opinion, yotzei kol adeos, try to be yotzei everybody. You have gemaras like this already, where people try to be yotzei kol adeos as much as possible. The Gemara in Brachos, for example, says, what bracha do you say on bread? What bracha do you say on bread? What? Hamotzi. So the Gemara says it's actually machlokas. Yeah. Actually machlokas. Hamotzi or what's the other option? No, not mazonos. Motzi. Not hamotzi lechem haaretz. Motzi lechem haaretz. And the Gemara says, oh, motzi. Everyone agrees would work. Everyone agrees motzi without the hay would mean bread that God has already taken out of the ground. Hamotzi is debatable whether it works or not. So the Gemara says, we say hamotzi. Why do we say hamotzi? According to one opinion, you should say hamotzi, even though that's a debate. Why should you say hamotzi, even though it's a debate? Shouldn't you go with what definitely works, with motzi? Motzi definitely works, right? So you should go with motzi. Right? If you have one thing that is for sure kosher, and the other thing, maybe yeah, maybe no. I may really believe it is, but it's at least a debate. Shouldn't you go with the definite? No? So Tosa says, if you were to say motzi, your bracha would end up getting messed up a lot. Because you would end up saying, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu, Melech, what's the next word? Ha'olam motzi lechem. Ha'olam motzi. Meaning the mem and the mem. It would run right into each other, you're not going to pronounce it properly. Adding that extra hey breaks up the two words. Implicit in Tosa's is absent that concern, you would have wanted to do motzi. Why? Because it's yotzei all the opinions. But what do you mean? We paskin a motzi is good. Why would you have wanted to do motzi? Yeah, because we try to follow all opinions. We try to be yotzei. Every single opinion, even the opinion that's rejected. Why? Why? It's rejected. It's wrong. It's wrong. Why would I want to follow an opinion that's wrong? Why would I want to try to fulfill a shita that's wrong? The answer is, Eilu Veilu, Divrei Elokim Chayim. It may have been outvoted. It may not be lahalacha, but it still is lahalacha a little bit. It still plays a role in the halacha. Elevelu divrei Elokim Chayim. A sixth example. The Gemara in Brachos Tafir Aleph, and this is why the Mishnah of Yaakov talks about it there in his Sefer called Yaakov. Machlokes b'shan b'sul about how to position your body when you say Shema. It's a Mishnah in Brachos. You know this one, no? How to position your body when you say Shema. Should be lying, lying down, standing up. Right? So what does Beis Shammai hold? At night, you lie down. In the morning, you're up. What does Beis Shammai say? However you want to do it. The Gemara in Mishnah tells a story. Rabbi Tarfon followed the opinion of Beis Shammai and almost got mugged and almost got killed. And they said, yeah, you deserve it. What are you following the Shitas Beis Shammai for? That's all in the Mishnah. But some of them criticized him. So the Gemara discusses, Asa Kedivri Beis Shammai, Lo Asa V'lo Klum, or Ken Asa? If someone follows Beis Shammai, is it worthless or is it worth something? So Tosfos Masechta Sukkah has one interpretation of what that means. But the Mishnah of Yaakov explains that even though Elu Ve'elu affects the halacha, to even consider a minority opinion, maybe Beis Shammai is different. Maybe that's less true by Beis Shammai against Beis Hillel. Because Beis Shammai b'makom Beis Hillel ain't a Mishnah. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Vav says that Beis Shammai b'makom Beis Hillel ain't a Mishnah. Why? Why would Beis Shammai b'makom Beis Hillel be in a Mishnah that it's like, now we disregard Beis Shammai entirely? It's because Amdu L'minyan. What does Amdu L'minyan mean? It means that the Beis Shammai were outvoted. Once an opinion is outvoted, this is a critical, critical thing.
There's a major exception to this rule. We're saying that Elu Ve'elu Divrei Chachamim Chaim tells you not just that you get Schar Din Torah for learning the rejected opinion, but that the rejected opinion sometimes gets brought back into the halacha by Erevin, by Avel, by Arul Schutzler. It gets brought back into halacha when you're trying to be machmir al chaladeos. It gets brought back into the halacha. So why is a guy who's trying to be machmir like Beis Shammai and lying down in Kriyat Shema at night, why are they yelling at him, telling him, yeah, you deserve to die? Whoa, that's a little harsh. So the reason is because Amdu L'minyan. Amdu L'minyan means they voted. It's one thing if they haven't yet taken a vote. But you know the majority. Apostles say this way, the minority apostles say that way. You look in the Hilchos Aveilus book and it tells you that most rabbis say this, but Rosh Hashanah Zalman held differently. No one outvoted him. So even though I'm going to follow the majority opinion is still a player. He's still there. But once they voted, once it's been voted, Nimnu V'gamru, you're no longer allowed to follow the Beis Shammai. Rosh Hashanah likes to tell the story of Nissen Alper told him that he was at a wedding. He used to happen all the time. Rav Moshe would always go to every wedding he was invited to. Rav Moshe Feinstein was at Tzaddik, as you probably know. And if he got an invitation, he was coming because he didn't want to insult anybody. No matter how old he was, no matter how little he knew the family, if you sent him an invitation, he was coming. In fact, Rav Michal Shurkin used to joke that if a girl got married and Rav Moshe wasn't at the wedding, she was becheskas pnuya. And she was becheskas that she's not married. So if it was a wedding, Rav Moshe was there. He was always there. So Rav Moshe would come to the wedding and he would fill in the ksuba, because what the Sadi Kedushin was going to say, you know, if Rav Moshe's there, like, you know, you sort of get out of the way and let him do it. So Rav Moshe would fill in the ksuba. But, you know, it was like a pre-printed form and it had blanks and he would fill in the blanks because that's how most ksubas come, right? Rav Lazer Silver, who had a certain amount of confidence, he was a very... You have your stories about Rav Lazer Silver? His grandson was my Rebbe in Kerev Yavne, Rav Aaron Silver. Rav Lazer Silver was the head of the Agudas Rabbanim of the United States and Canada. The story goes that he was once being driven by somebody in a car and the car got pulled over. And the driver says to the police officer, excuse me, officer, I don't know if you realize, I have a very important person that I'm driving here. This is the chief rabbi of all of the United States. And Silver screams out from the back, and Canada! Was, you know, confident men. So Rav Lazer Silver used to come to the wedding. He would look at the ksuba, you know, the pre-filled out form. He'd rip it up. The Rav Moshe just filled out. He'd rip up the whole thing. He'd sit down and he'd write the entire ksuba over again. Why? Because there is a sheet in Maseches Gittin, in a Mishnah Gittin, a sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that just like a get has to be written l'shma, every word of a get has to be written l'shma, and that's why you'll never see a pre-printed form of a get. They have to write it out, the Sofer Gittin has to write it out l'shma. So too, every shtar mamon, including a ksuba, has to be written l'shma. That's sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Lazer Silver thought, why not? Let's be machmir like Shitas Rav Yehuda. So Rav Moshe was a tzaddik. He wouldn't say anything. He would just let Rav Lazer Silver do his thing. Because Rav Lazer, you know, he was a personality.
They say the other story of Liz Silver was darshaning once, and he went on and on and on, and it was like at a shalashuddis. And someone was saying, Silver, soon we're not going to be able to bench anymore because it's going to be too long since we last ate. So he said he took a little bit of food and he said, Shkoyach! And then he continued. So why? Rav Moshe wouldn't say anything, but Rav Moshe wrote tshuvas.
So Rav Moshe always got the last word because he wrote tshuvas,
so he could always print whatever he wanted in the tshuva. So Rav Moshe writes in one of his tshuvas, who on earth would ever say that a ksuba has to be written entirely lishma, to be choshish v'shitas Rav Yehuda? It's nimnu v'gamru! It's already been rejected! The idea of being yotzei kol adeos is only when it's not nimnu v'gamru! But we've already rejected them. I remember someone once asked me, you know, the sheet of Rabbi Lazar, who's Mitalmidei Beis Shammai, in the Mishnah in Sukkah, who learned next year Sukkah, is that a person has to have 14 meals in a Sukkah. All 14 meals need to be eaten in a Sukkah. So someone said, you know, my parents were invited out for a meal. Should I not go? Because all 14 meals are supposed to be in the same Sukkah, according to the sheet of Rabbi Lazar. Not just that you have to have 14 meals, but they got to be in the same Sukkah. No, you don't take on such a chumrah. You're not machmir for a shita and tanoim that's nimnu v'gamru that you're paskin against. So that's what Moshe explained. That is a critical exception to this rule of Eil Avedim. So yeah, learning shita Beis Shammai is still Talmud Torah. But once it's been outvoted, it's been outvoted. As far as halacha is concerned. The Nitziv in his Hakdamatis commentary in the Shiltos has a certain way of saying this. He has a certain way of putting this. He says, you know, there are two elements of Torah. There's what's called Eish and what's called Das. Dalatav. Eish, Das. What's Eish? Eish is fire. Fire is alive. Fire is moving. Fire is warm and hot and flickering in it. Das is the law. It is. It's set. It doesn't change. It's static. And then the Nitziv says that there are parts of Torah that are Eish, that are still alive. It's still being debated. There's still... The discussion is still open. But then there are parts that are dust. It's been decided. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai. God says that halacha l'moshe m'sinai, the ritzuos of your tefillin have to be black. Period. Dust. Signed, sealed, delivered, nothing to discuss anymore. Oh, but maybe you should be able to be blue. If you, you know, maybe you should be able to have Elmo on it for the little kids and Yankee colors for the... No. It's done. It's done. It's dust. There are parts of Torah that are Eish, that are still able to be debated. It says in the Nitziv, then there are parts of Torah that start as Eish and can turn into Das. How does something start as Eish and turn into Das? Nimnu v'gamru. They take a vote. And once it's voted on and decided, and that's exactly what we were reading about in the Gemara before. Every time they had a machlokas, what did we read about in the Gemara? What did the Gemara say? What did they do? You go to the local basin, and then they would go to the Sanhedrin HaGadol, and what would happen to the Sanhedrin HaGadol? They would take a vote, and that's it! There's no more machlokas! What do you mean no more machlokas? 50 members of the Sanhedrin HaGadol said one way, 21 said the other way. It's a machlokas! No, once they voted, there's no more machlokas. You still get a Kiyum Talmud Torah if you study the opinion, the minority opinion of the 21 judges. But there's no more machlokas. It's become dust. It's become set in law. Says the Nitziv, this explains. The Gemara tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai learned, Kol ma she Talmud vasik asid lehischadish. Anything that any Talmud one day is going to say a chiddush in the Beis Medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu already learned it at Har Sinai. So you might ask, what a waste of time. I mean, I know the things I've said in the Beis Medrash. Like Moshe Rabbeinu has better things to do than to, you know, say the things that I've been saying in the Beis Medrash. You probably could say things on a much higher level. Kol ma she'talmud vasik asid lehischadish. And also, how do you have time in 40 days? So the Nitziv says it doesn't mean every boich svara that you threw out, every discussion that was ever had. What it means is anything that ever became dust. Anything that ever went from esh to dust, went from the part of Torah that's alive and moving to the part of Torah that's set, that's kavua, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu learned. He says that explains the sugya in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin discusses, is Rov Torah Balpeh or is Rov Torah B'chsav?
What a strange discussion. I mean, what can Tani Beis Medrash? Most of the Svarim on the wall. Rav Sacks alone is more Torah Sheval Peh than the entire Torah Shabbat Sah. By a lot. Is Rov Torah Bal Peh, the Torah Shabbat Sah is a one volume Tanakh. Torah Sheval Peh is everything else. It says in the Tzidin, no, what the Gemara is saying is not everything in Torah Sheval Peh. It's saying the parts of Torah Sheval Peh that would have been, that there would be a Hava Amina to write down, that there would be a Hava Amina to turn into Torah Sheval Peh. Which part of Torah Sheval Peh would you have a Hava Amina to say, let's record this and make this Kavua like Torah Shabbat Sad, the part that's become dust, the part that's become accepted without question, the part that's been voted on and decided, that's the Gemara's question. Is there more of that or more of Torah Shabbat Sad? But obviously the Eish part of Torah Shabbat Peh is ever growing, ever expanding, and that obviously is way more than Torah Shabbat Sad. The final nafkamina that the Mishnah Yaakov quotes. There is an idea that comes up in a few places. In the first parak of Brachos and first parak of Nida. Kedai hu Rabbi Shimon lismoch alav b'shas adchak. What does that mean? Kedai hu lismoch alav b'shas adchak. Sometimes you have an opinion that is rejected. You don't hold that way. But b'shasad chak, you'd rely on that opinion. Machlokas tanaim, we pasken like the rabbim, but if there's a shasad chak, we rely on the yach of the kula. So pashtus is that all the cases in shas where we say this is by dinim drabanan. So even though it's not a 50-50 suffix, since the shitas hayachid is considered at least, it's something, it's not gone, it hasn't disappeared, we can rely on that shitas hayachid b'shasad chak. We can consider it a suffix drabanan lakula. For example, is machlokas whether shmita bezman hazeh is daraisa drabanan or not at all? Three shitas. Either shmita doesn't exist bezman hazeh, the other extreme, shmita bezman hazeh is din daraisa, in the middle ground, there is shmita bezman hazeh but only drabanan. The Kotzker printed a kol kore that farmers relying on the heter mechira are machale Shabbos beferhesia. Machale Shabbos beferhesia? What does that have to do with Shabbos? Shemitah is called the Shabbos. So the Mechale Shabbos Beferesia. Rav Yosef Engel, who's the Mechutna of the Kotzker, in Otsus Yosef and Shvius, totally rips into the Kol Kori of the Kotzker. And he says, I'm willing to swear a Shvu D'Oraisa that the Rambam holds that Shemitah Bezman Hazeh is only D'Rabbanan. Plus, the Ravid and the Balamar hold there's no Shemitah Bezman Hazeh at all. And therefore, kedai lismoch aleim b'shas adchak. At that time, not farming was really not an option. It was not a viable option financially. It was a shas adchak. You could rely on them b'shas adchak. Why? Because it's still part of Torah. So we have these six nafkaminas to the fact that it's not just that learning shitas beis shammai is Talmud Torah. We had six nafkaminas that it's still something in halacha, or las chutz laretz. Halacha k'divrei mekel ba'avel. Halacha k'divrei mekel be'erev. Kimli in the choshe mishpat. I hold like the opinion that says that I don't owe the money. The idea that there's a midas chasidus to be machmir for a minority opinion. And finally, kedai hu lismoch alav b'shas adchak. The idea that you can rely on a minority opinion, b'shas adchak. All six of those concepts only work because the minority opinion is still part of Torah. If it were not for Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, those concepts don't work. We also pointed out, though, that not every opinion is still part of Torah, is still part of halacha, I should say. Nimnu v'gamru, once they've outvoted something, it's now voted off. It's still Talmud Torah to learn it, but it's now voted off of all of those six nafkaminas. We don't say, halacha k'divrei mekel ba'avel, and therefore I'll follow shitas beis shammai. They've been outvoted. So that's an exception to all of these rules.
Another exception to these rules of where you say Elevel Divrei Elokim Chaim, where you may not say Elevel Divrei Elokim Chaim, Rashi writes in Masechta Ksuvos, Daf Nun Zayin. If they argue about a Metzius, they don't argue about a Halacha. They don't argue about what the Halacha is arguing. Did someone say this or did someone say that? One of them is right, one of them is wrong. You can't say Elevel Divrei Elokim Chaim. The one that we don't paskin like is therefore rejected. It's not still a part of Torah. A third possible exception to when we don't say Elevel Divrei Elokim Chaim, and with this one we'll close. There is a discussion, I'm not going to get into the details of it, about Yerusha, where the Rimigash holds one thing and pretty much all the other Rishonim hold something else. The Rimigash is Mamish Adas Yachid. Except the Rambam holds like the Rimigash. Now, it's one thing to follow majority opinion, you know, 90%, 10%. So the 10% is still part of the halachic process. But when it's mamish one person against everybody, that one person is voted out. So some of the Achronim say, and when it's the Rambam and the Rimigash as the only ones, that's considered one person. Because you know how the Rambam felt about the Rimigash. The Rambam writes in his Hakdamah that he met the Rimigash when he was a little boy, and he was so taken by the Kedusha of the experience that the Rimigash was a Malach Hashem beyond anything he could imagine. And the Rimigash gave him a bracha, and he attributes all of his success to the bracha that he got from the Rimigash. So it's not like the Rambam was able to like formulate an opinion once the Rimigash was in the picture. He was just following the Rimigash. So if you have only one shita that holds, and his closest disciples, that's still just one shita. And that might be voted out of the Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. So that's what we've done today. We discussed the notion how Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim could fit into the idea of Lo Shimshu called Sarchan. We discussed what it means Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. Certainly it means that it's a mitzvah Talmud Torah. And we discussed six other nafkaminas to the fact beyond just the mitzvah Talmud Torah, and three exceptions to the rule when we don't say Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim.